The 9/11 Commission published their report in July 2004. On the front cover, the report describes itself as the final report of the Commission. But many people complain that this final report is still not answering some of the important questions. One of those people is Senator Mark Dayton of Minnesota. He did more than complain that the report left us with unanswered questions. He went so far as to accuse NORAD and other officials of lying to both the American people and the government.
And the commission testimony 20 months later covered up those truths. They lied to the American people, they lied to Congress, and they lied to your 9/11 commission.
He gave a few examples of the lies that NORAD told us.
NORAD issued an official chronology which stated that the FAA notified NORAD of the second hijacking at 8:43. Wrong. FAA notified NORAD of the third hijacking at 9:24. According to your report, wrong. FAA notified NORAD of the fourth hijacking at an unspecified time, and that prior to the crash in Pennsylvania, Langley F-16 combat air patrol planes were in place, remaining in place, to protect Washington, D.C. All untrue.
He also points out to the commission members that the commission's report admits that NORAD made false statements.
And in that testimony before you, NORAD officials stated also that at 9:24 they received notice of the hijacking of the third plane, American Flight 77. Also untrue, according to your report.
He complained of the incompetence of government employees.
But what I find much more shocking and alarming were the repeated and catastrophic failures of the leaders in charge and the other people responsible to do their jobs, to follow established procedures, to follow direct orders from civilian and military commanders. And then they failed to tell us the truth later.
An example of the incompetence is that NORAD sent fighter jets in the wrong direction.
NORAD mission commander ordered his only three other planes on alert in Virginia to scramble and fly north to Baltimore. Minutes later, when he was told that a plane was approaching Washington, he learned that the planes were flying east over the Atlantic Ocean, away from Baltimore and Washington. So that when the third plane struck the Pentagon, NORAD's fighters were 150 miles away, farther than they were before they took off.
Some people dismiss these acts of incompetence as innocent mistakes. However, Senator Dayton described it this way.
This is just unbelievable negligence.
Senator Dayton also pointed out that if we allow government officials to lie to us, and if we allow them to falsify documents, and if we allow them to be unbelievably negligent, it doesn't matter how many laws we pass or how much money we spend on commissions or investigations.
And we can set up all of the oversight possible at great additional cost to the American taxpayers, and it won't be worth an Enron pension if the people responsible lie to us. If they take their records and doctor them into falsehoods, and if they get away with it.
Senator Dayton is just one of millions of people around the world who is disappointed with the American government. He is just one of millions of people complaining about the incompetence, the doctored reports, and the lies. Let's set a good example for the world by encouraging people to question official reports. The 9/11 Commission report tells us that NORAD was incompetent. However, Barry Zwicker, a journalist in Canada, points out that there may be more behind the scenes because nobody at NORAD was reprimanded for their incompetence.
Throughout the northeastern United States are many air bases, but that morning, no interceptors respond in a timely fashion to the highest alert situation. This includes the Andrews squadrons, which have the longest lead time and are 12 miles from the White House. Whatever the explanation for the huge failure, there have been no reports to my knowledge of reprimands. This further weakens the incompetence theory. Incompetence usually earns reprimands. This causes me to ask, and other media need to ask, if there were stand-down orders.
Zwicker also points out that President Bush told schoolchildren that he saw the first airplane crash into the North Tower, and about 20 minutes later, as he was sitting in the classroom, he was told of the second plane crash.
From the transcript of a town hall session in Orlando, Florida on December the 4th. Jordan, a third grader. How did you feel when you heard about the terrorist attack? Applause. The president. Thank you, Jordan. Well, Jordan, I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower. The TV was obviously on. And I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it. And I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America is under attack. And Jordan, I wasn't sure what to think at first. Wait a minute. The president tells us he saw the incredible image of the first plane going in.
Nobody saw the first crash on television because no television crews were filming the towers at the time. This particular video of the first crash comes from a handheld camera that was recording to videotape. The television studios did not even know this video existed until hours later. If President Bush is correct that he saw the first plane crash before he entered the classroom, that means somebody was sending live video of the World Trade Center towers to the Florida classroom, and from some other camera. The 9/11 report does a nice job of showing the incompetence and lies of NORAD, but it leaves lots of unresolved issues that are much more troubling. For example, the official story is that fire caused both towers to disintegrate, but no steel-framed skyscraper has ever been destroyed from a fire. How did fire destroy steel buildings on September 11th, when fire has never destroyed steel buildings before or since? Building 7 collapsed at 5:30 in the evening. This was another steel-framed skyscraper, and with 47 stories, it was almost half the height of the towers. How and why did this building crumble? No airplane hit it. In May 2002, FEMA released a report in which they claimed they have no idea what happened to Building 7. Since they don't know what happened, how can they tell us Osama was responsible? The official story is that the towers collapsed as one floor hit the floor below it, and then those floors hit the floor below them, causing a chain reaction. However, videotapes and seismic data show that the floors were falling at free fall speed, which is a sign that the floors were not encountering any resistance as they hit one another. How can the floors of a steel building fall on top of one another without slowing down every time they hit another floor? As the floors fell down, clouds of dust were thrown hundreds of feet horizontally. Analysis of this dust by the government shows that it was full of concrete. How did the concrete in these towers pulverize into such a fine dust? And what caused the dust to be thrown hundreds of feet outward? NASA and the U.S. Geological Survey measured the temperature of the rubble 5 days after the collapse. Some areas of the rubble were above the melting point of aluminum. How can a building fall down and leave such incredibly hot rubble, especially with firemen spraying water on it? The editor of Fire Engineering magazine was so disgusted by the government's investigation that he wrote in the January 2002 issue that the investigation was a half-baked farce. The military and FBI are still refusing to release the security videos that show Flight 77 crashing into the Pentagon. Why are we not allowed to see what happened? These are just a few of the unresolved issues of the September 11th attack. There are also unresolved issues about Flight 93, which crashed in Pennsylvania. The official story is that less than 24 Arabs conspired to attack America on September 11th. But even if only one of the points of this video are true, then the conspiracy is much larger than the government claims it was. Let's now take a more in-depth look into some of the events of September 11th. Let's begin by looking at the collapse of Building 7, a 47-story steel-framed building. At 5:30 in the evening, this building crumbled into a pile of rubble. Here's a different view of the collapse. And another view. The person who took this next video decided to point his camera at Building 7 at just the right moment. If you've never seen a demolition of an old building, there's a DVD called What a Blast that shows how buildings are demolished. Notice that the dust comes from the base of the building, just as with Building 7. Also, the building falls down very quickly because the pieces are free-falling. They often cause the middle of the building to fall first in order to pull the outer walls inward. PBS has a documentary called America Rebuilds, in which Larry Silverstein, the landlord of Building 7, explains what happened.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
FEMA claims they have no idea why Building 7 collapsed. Silverstein claims the fire department demolished Building 7 rather than bother putting out the fires. However, it takes more than a few hours to set up the demolition of such a large skyscraper. Besides, the building had a few fires burning inside. The tenants never had a chance to remove their possessions, and the area was crowded with rescuers who were searching for survivors. Who would even think of demolishing Building 7 during such a disaster? Don't these suspicious aspects of Building 7 justify a more in-depth investigation? In the 3 business days before the September 11th attack, some wealthy investors made suspicious investments in which they were betting that the price of United and American Airlines stock would drop in value. After the attack, they made millions of dollars profit. Many people assumed that those investors knew the attack was going to occur and that they decided to take advantage of it. Who were those investors? Within days, government agencies in the United States and other nations began an international investigation to determine who those people were and whether they knew the attack was coming. That international investigation has been going on for 3 years already, and we're still waiting for their conclusion. Doesn't this imply that somebody stopped every one of those investigations? How could terrorists have the ability to stop such important investigations, and in several different countries? The towers did not simply fall down or break into pieces. Rather, as jets of dust flew out the windows at extreme velocity, that portion of the building disintegrated. There's a documentary available at Blockbuster Video Stores called 9/11, the Filmmaker's Commemorative Edition. It contains video from the 2 French brothers who were filming the firemen at the World Trade Center. 2 of the firemen who witnessed the collapse of the towers described to another fireman how similar the collapse was to a demolition by explosives.
He started running, floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like it was if they had detonated.
Yeah, detonated.
They were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down. I was watching.
We can see the floor by floor explosions in this video. A fireman who was searching for survivors was surprised that all he found were pieces of steel, dust, and shredded office equipment.
You don't find a desk. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone I found was half of the keypad, and it was about this big.
As mentioned earlier, a thermal map of the rubble was created 5 days after the towers collapsed. The view is looking down on the rubble. Obviously, the rubble would be cooler after 5 days than it was on September 11th, Also, firemen sprayed water on the rubble during those 5 days. However, one location in the rubble of Building 7 was above the melting point of aluminum, and so was one location in the rubble of the South Tower. Not surprisingly, smoke came out of the rubble for months. Peter Tully, president of one company hired to remove debris, and Mark Lazeau, president of Controlled Demolition, told the American Free Press that steel had melted at the bottom of the basements in the towers and Building 7. These incredible temperatures are more evidence that explosives were used. According to the scientists who analyzed the seismic data, the North Tower collapsed in about 8 seconds. The collapse started at about the 94th floor, near this woman. This means that 94 floors shattered at an average rate of about 10 floors per second. If this woman had tossed a steel beam off the edge, it would have hit the ground about 8 seconds later. The formula to figure this out is very simple, if we ignore air resistance. 94 floors at 12 feet per floor is 1,128 feet. Divide that by 16 and take the square root, and we get 8.4 seconds. This means that the North Tower collapsed as fast as objects fall when there is no air resistance. How can steel skyscrapers disintegrate so rapidly? The official story is that Flight 77 dropped to within inches of cars as it made its final approach to the Pentagon. But how could anybody fly such a massive passenger plane so close to the ground, at 400 miles per hour? Photos taken of the Pentagon immediately after the crash show a few fires, but there is no hole in the building that is large enough for a Boeing 757. How did the plane crash into this building without busting a hole in the wall and without leaving debris on the grass? There was no sign of the airplane after the collapse either. This was a Boeing 757, which is 60 tons when empty. However, only a few scraps were found, such as this thin piece. Only one engine was found, and it was small. A Boeing 757 has two engines about 9 feet in diameter. How could such a large airplane with such large engines leave behind only a few small scraps? And why didn't this dog find even one small piece of the 64 passengers? Photos taken during the cleanup do not show any airplane parts, human body parts, luggage, or blood. A few minutes after an airplane crashed into the World Trade Center on September 11th, television shows were interrupted to provide us with news reports. But these news reports were repeated over and over, day after day, without interruption.
And show it to you again.
We were told that Osama was responsible, and his photo was shown to us over and over. But how could a few men defeat our air defense system, and with 4 different airplanes? We were told that fire caused the towers and Building 7 to disintegrate.
Show it to you again.
But fire had never caused a steel building to disintegrate before, so how did fire do it to 3 buildings on September 11th? And why didn't they show the collapse of Building 7 over and over? Why were some events repeated endlessly while others were ignored? Well, at least the FBI solved the crime within a few days and released the names and photos of the 19 hijackers. Unfortunately, news reports were soon complaining that some of these hijackers were alive. Has this crime really been solved? And why don't the news reports agree on how many hijackers are alive and which hijackers are alive? And why doesn't the FBI remove the mistakes from their list of hijackers? A few news reporters must be aware of the suspicious aspects of the September 11th attack because books, videos, and websites have been discussing this issue for years. So why doesn't even one news reporter do an investigation? Who is influencing the news reports? You probably already know that corporations influence news reports. A documentary called The Corporation gives an example of how the Fox News Network was threatened by Monsanto in 1997 to stop a news report about growth hormones in dairy cattle.
The second letter, and this was even more strongly worded, and it said there will be dire consequences for Fox News if the story airs in Florida. And this time they freaked. They were afraid of being sued, and they were also afraid of losing advertising dollars.
To further confuse the issue, in July 2004, the MoveOn organization filed a complaint with the FCC over the bias in the Fox News Network towards Republicans. A MoveOn advertisement accused Fox of being equivalent to Pravda. However, MoveOn is not complaining about the bias in CBS, NBC, or other networks. Furthermore, the MoveOn organization is not providing their members with much information about the September 11th attack. Nor is any other large news or political organization discussing the suspicious aspects of the September 11th attack. Is any large organization truly free of corporate and government influence? This video only scratches the surface to the disturbing aspects of the September 11th attack that suggest our government is not telling us the truth about 9/11. To summarize a few important points, the military and FBI refused to release the security videos that identify the aircraft that hit the Pentagon. The grass in front of the Pentagon remained in perfect condition, even though a commercial jet supposedly crashed into the ground floor. Photos do not show people or aircraft parts from Flight 77 at the Pentagon. The towers collapsed at free fall speed, which means that all the bolts and welds were breaking as fast as the rubble was falling. The building's structure offered no resistance. Building 7 collapsed in the same manner that demolition companies destroy old buildings. Our government claims they have no idea what happened to Building 7. This should justify a more in-depth investigation, but they are ignoring this issue. The rubble at the World Trade Center was sold as scrap metal. Our government violated the law by destroying evidence of a serious crime.